Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TIC, and Light 100.5 WRCH. My name is Morgan Cunningham, and I'm joined with Kevin Elak. He is the Director of Health for the City of Middletown. And today we're going to be talking about and just trying to get a broad update in general on opioids and overdoses, how they're impacting Middletown, how Middletown compares to the state of Connecticut, and what Middletown is doing to try to combat the crisis a little bit. Kevin, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming on.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Happy to have you on today, Kevin. And I'm wondering if we could start with just a broad update on Middletown's opioid statistics, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So, of course, we know this is a national crisis, the opioid epidemic, and Connecticut is not immune to it. We have our problems here and in Middletown as well, as with many communities in Connecticut. So we started to kind of recognize this kind of right before the pandemic that we need to act upon this. So just to give you some, the state of where we are right now, Connecticut just released their data for 2022 for overdose deaths, which seemed to decrease a little bit from 2021, which is, which is promising news. But, us in the in public health and providers are taking that data cautiously and, any death is a unfortunate incident, so we know that there's still much work to do in the community.
And if we're seeing decreases, is that indicative of future trends? You guys are watching this cautiously, so there's obviously some level of concern that maybe it will go back up. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're concerned that it's going to rise again. It could be just, I would like to be optimistic and say that the efforts that are happening out there right now are making a difference in lowering those deaths in particular. Things like, harm reduction activity of, the life-saving medicine like naloxone that can be administered to people to reverse the effects of an overdose is saving life. It's been proven that it's saving lives out there. So I would like to think that that's making a dent in it, but again, we're still going to be cautious, and we know we have to continue to move forward with taking an aggressive action to combat this as long as there's still the dangerous opioids out there in the community.
Does the city of Middletown and the health department ever compare local data to, say, the state of Connecticut's data when it comes to the opioid epidemic and crisis?
The state health department recently released data that that does compare municipalities, looking at the rate of deaths per 100,000 population, and that really shows what municipalities are impacted more than others. And Middletown, there is an elevated risk of overdoses and deaths in Middletown compared to some other towns. It doesn't always, of course, our cities throughout the state are more impacted, but it doesn't always follow that line. It could be even, smaller towns or rural towns can still be affected as well.
When we talk about the opioid epidemic, and when I ask this question, I'm thinking just about Connecticut, not any other state in the nation or the whole nation as a whole or even worldwide. But does one city make much of a dent in one broader area? So, for instance, would Middletown make much of a dent in Connecticut's research, Connecticut's data, Connecticut's efforts?
It could. I mean, there's a lot of task force and coalitions in Connecticut, and we're all kind of taking the same approach and learning from each other. So we can, take things that have proved to be successful in combating overdoses and applying that to our own community. So absolutely, we're constantly learning from each other to see what works and what doesn't work.
Does Middletown set goals that are going to benefit Middletown, you know, within the parameters of the city itself? Or do you guys work with the state of Connecticut to try to reach some kind of broader goal that benefits, obviously, Middletown and Middletown's residents, but makes a difference at the statewide level? Or do you find that it's more effective to just focus on the city itself?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we have to target our focus to be more effective, I think. Our task force here is, of course, focused on helping people in our community. But of course, not everyone in our area is a resident here. They might be visiting. So it does, in a sense, can impact others. And of course, the state, several state agencies are very supportive of providing us with the tools that we need. For instance, the Department of Public Health provides us the data that we can use to make informed decisions. Just for instance, there's a there's a program that we use called ODMAP, and it contains real-time data of when overdoses are occurring in our state. So, and that data is reported by the first responders to the Poison Control and Office of Chief Medical Examiner. So we know almost instantaneously when an overdose occurs in our town, and we can then use that data to track trends, or even if there's a spike of overdoses occurring in our community, I can alert our community partners in town, like our, of course, our fire and police departments and our treatment providers, harm reduction specialists, to say, hey, there's, you know, something's going on out there causing a spike, whether it's a new batch of something out in the community that our residents, are affected by, and then usually in that case, our police department will step up their efforts to find out what's circulating in the community.
Kevin Elak is our guest this morning on Face Connecticut, Director of Health for the City of Middletown. Happy to have him on talking about the broader issue of Middletown's combating of the opioid crisis. And you mentioned just a moment ago, first responders. Could you talk a little bit, Kevin, about the collaboration that your department, as the health department for the City of Middletown, what kind of collaboration do you have with first responders? What kind of training is made available to them? Because they're the ones that are oftentimes dealing with the overdoses for the very first time for somebody before they get to any more treatment.
Yeah, they're play a big role, of course, in addressing this. As you mentioned, they're the boots on the ground, the ones that are responding to an incident of an overdose. So we have, we have three fire departments in Middletown. All of the firefighters are trained as emergency medical technicians. They've all been trained internally to know how to respond to an overdose. And of course, they carry naloxone with them if there is an overdose. So, and we work very closely in the health department with our first responders. And of course, we also have an ambulance company with paramedics who also do the same as well. So we work very closely, and we've improved our lines of communications. A lot of times I'll get a text message from one of our fire chiefs letting me know that they are responding to an overdose. And we hope to continue that relationship to actually include what we call recovery coaches to respond to a scene and actually be able to provide support not only to the person overdosing, but to their possibly friends and family that can assist the person as they recover from the overdose and are discharged from the hospital, offering services as far as what, what's available in the area for treatment and follow-up services. So that's really a crucial element as well.
Kevin, I was reading some remarks that you made not too long ago on the opioid crisis and how it pertains to Middletown. And one thing that stood out to me was you said that people who are basically addicts or people who are overdose victims and they ended up recovering, they don't want to be. They don't want to be that person. They don't want to be addicted. They don't want to go through an overdose. They don't want to have to recover from it. You know, they don't want the issue at all is basically what you're saying. And so what do you hear from people who are addicted to opioids or people who are overdose victims themselves?
I've talked to, again, our first responders or even the boots on the ground, like our harm reduction specialists who deal on a regular basis with people who are affected by the epidemic. And their conversations with those people is that, you know, like I'd mentioned, they don't want to be in this place in their lives. They didn't ask for this. I just, you know, heard someone telling me just last week that they had observed, you know, somebody who was experiencing an overdose. And their response was, well, this, you know, unfortunately, this person chose this. So that kind of, and of course, that gave me a teaching moment, an opportunity to tell this person that that's most likely not true, that people can become addicted to opioids very easily. Even many times what happens is that people were prescribed a painkiller for having surgery or a back injury or something like that. And they most often, if they're overprescribed these medications, they can easily become dependent on these drugs. And when their provider stops prescribing these to them, they'll often go to the street and purchase these things. So that's, you know, that's certainly something that people didn't have in mind to become addicted to these things. So that's really one of the stigmas out there that people choose this life. And again, it's absolutely, in most cases, not true.
Kevin, what can you say about prevention through community outreach? Because it all starts with education, and they're just one sector that you have reached out to within the city of Middletown, or your team, the Department of Health for Middletown, that is, has reached out to schools. They've reached out to law enforcement, faith-based organizations, health advocates. And so could we start with the education component there? How are we educating more and more people about the dangers of the drugs and overdoses, too?
With our opioid task force here in town, we created four separate work groups. So with the with our community partners that are part of this task force, and we have about 100 people that are part of it, we created these four work groups based on polling our people on the task force, what are the greatest needs in our community. And we broke it up into four different work groups, one being access to treatment, two being education and prevention, three harm reduction, and four is resource awareness. So that education work group is actively working on creating material to target different populations. And of course, we know we need one type of curriculum for our youth, and then another type of curriculum again for our adults. So that's what we're really trying to work on right now, is getting those messages and then getting into our school systems and getting the message out there. Again, adults is something, again, like addressing stigma is one of the areas that we're working on. And then for our youth, you know, one of course, a message out there is, you know, hey, there's drugs out there that look exactly like a prescribed medication, but they're actually illicit. And that's often what's happening right now, is that people are buying pills on the street that look exactly like something like an oxycodone, but it's actually something that was manufactured who knows where, and often contains fentanyl in there. So you think you might be getting something that might give you a pretty good high, but actually could kill you. So that's one of the other messages out there that we're trying to get out to the community.
When you mentioned schools, it reminded me back when I was in school and, you know, we started in sixth grade on drug education and the program was pretty strong at the time. But I know that in the years since I've left school and have gone out into the world, but I know people that are still connected to my hometown area and whatnot, that those programs have actually been really built out in the years since I had them. And so can you talk about the development of school programs over, let's say, the last 10 years, how they have improved on drug education and what's being offered currently at Middletown schools?
Honestly, that's one of the areas that we're working on right now. We really don't know what's being offered in the schools right now. So we're working on making those inroads with the school administration to find out exactly what is being taught and how can we enhance that. Of course, we know it's a very sensitive subject, right, that we have to be careful. And of course, families can possibly be upset if we don't address this carefully and with a sensitive nature. So that's one of our challenges that we're facing right now.
You mentioned that obviously you have been in direct contact with and working with first responders and helping them be prepared to deal with, say, overdoses. What about law enforcement, the police department, for instance? How are they currently equipped to handle this?
Yeah, so we've been able to provide them with naloxone. So through our connections with the Department of Health and Mental Services, DEMIS, they're able to provide us with free doses of Narcan. So we're able to pass those on to our police departments and our fire departments. So they don't have to take that funding out of their own budgets to pay for these harm reduction tools.
Faith-based organizations, is there outreach with them?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the co-chair of our opioid task force is Reverend Robert Anderson, who is the leader of the Ministerial Health Fellowship. So Reverend Anderson and I met each other actually very early on in the pandemic, I would say sometime in 2020. And one of the first tasks, of course, we wanted to do was get the COVID vaccine out to the community, especially people of color, because we know there's been a long history of distrust and public health with the Black community. So it was very important to me to want to partner with that community to get the vaccine out there and have a place where people could go and trust. So we started the vaccination campaign in, of course, early 2021 and vaccinated almost 20,000 people to date since then. And from there, we knew we had a special connection and we could solve possibly a lot of different public health crises out there. So Reverend Anderson and I, and also Catherine Reese, who's the Director of Community Benefit with Middlesex Hospital, the three of us really started to put our thinking caps on and put our collective minds together and find out what are the things that are impacting our community. And of course, the opioid crisis was one of the things on the top of our list. So we decided in early 2022 to assemble this task force, this opioid task force, and start to invite as many community partners as we could. So we started holding monthly meetings back in February of 2022. And we are, it's been a year since we started, of course. And I think we've started to make some pretty good strides as far as getting ourselves organized and creating a plan as far as how we can address. So yes, the relationship with the faith-based community is very important to the success of this.
I'm glad that you brought up Middlesex Health because obviously that's a great partnership for you guys to have. You're in Middletown and so are they. And so what are you guys looking to do with Middletown going forward? You've been in talks with them now for some time, obviously, and planning this for over a year. But what growth is there to have with the hospital because they're such a great resource?
Yeah, they absolutely are. We're fortunate to have Middlesex Health in our community. I think one of the areas of improvement that we need to make with the relationship with the hospital is going back to, I mentioned earlier about the recovery coaches in our community. So again, through the Ministerial Health Fellowship, they actually have these recovery coaches. And these are individuals who have lived experience with addiction to substances. So they're the perfect people to work with individuals who are experiencing the same. And having these individuals in the hospital, especially when people are being discharged from the emergency department, is really key to having a person having a navigator to help guide them along to, so they know where can I get treatment, where can I get support to get my life back on track. It's not enough just to hand somebody a piece of paper saying, here's resources in town, but actually being something who's going to coach and guide these people and be there when they're ready to make a change.
Last idea that I want to get to before we wrap up our Face Connecticut with Kevin Elak, Director of Health for the City of Middletown. What does the FDA approval of over-the-counter sales of Narcan mean for people who are addicted, people who overdose in Middletown, Kevin?
Well, I think overall it's probably going to be a good thing. It'll increase the availability and without the barrier of having to have a prescription to purchase it. I have a few reservations about it, I think. I'm concerned, of course, we don't know what the price is going to be yet when it is available over the counter. I'm a little concerned that people, especially if they're, uninsured or don't have the means to be able to purchase it, that there may be a little bit of a barrier for them to get it. But I remain optimistic that this will be a good thing. And we know that we're still going to have those community partners in town to or in the state as well, to be able to still provide free Narcan to people who need it as well.
Any final thoughts, Kevin? You've been great this morning. I hope we can talk down the line again. But to wrap up our conversation for this morning, any final thoughts? Anything we didn't get to?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to stress that collaboration is the key. And I think that's true for any municipality, that no one agency or department should have to shoulder the burden of addressing this. This is something that it's a public health crisis, and we need to work as a community together to help each other, because we know that this has to be approached through a multifaceted angle, through, again, treatment, harm reduction, law enforcement, all those different things for us to make a dent in this.
Kevin, thank you so much for coming on this morning on Face Connecticut. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.